No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 29th day of May. Welcome, everyone. So glad that you're here. So grateful to be here with you. And so humbled to be reading the Word of God and to be a part of your spiritual journey today. We put aside all of the things that would try to distract us from this moment in the next few minutes, and we center ourselves around the Word of God to not only listen, but to hear, to not only visualize, but to see, and to open our hearts to receive what God would want to say, speak, and do in us, among us, through us. Let's jump in. Today we're reading 1 Kings chapters 1 and 2, and then we're going to read Psalm 37, Psalm 71, and we'll end with Psalm 94 today. We read the New English Translation, 1 Kings chapter 1 and 2. King David was very old. Even when they covered him with blankets, he could not get warm. His servants advised him, "A young virgin must be found for our master the king to take care of the king's needs and serve as his nurse. She can also sleep with you and keep our master the king warm." So they looked through all Israel for a beautiful young woman and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The young woman was very beautiful. She became the king's nurse and served him, but the king was not intimate with her. Now Adonijah, son of David in Haggith, was promoting himself, boasting, "I will be king." He managed to acquire chariots and horsemen, as well as 50 men to serve as his royal guard. Now his father had never corrected him by saying, "Why do you do such things?" He was also very handsome and had been born right after Absalom. He collaborated with Joab, son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they supported him. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and David's elite warriors did not ally themselves with Adonijah. Adonijah sacrificed sheep, cattle, and fattened steers at the stone of Zoeleth near En-Rogel. He invited all his brothers, the king's sons, as well as all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaiah, the elite warriors, or his brother Solomon. Nathan said to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, "Has it been reported to you that Haggith's son Adonijah has become king behind our master David's back? Now let me give you some advice as to how you can save your life and your son Solomon's life. Visit King David and say to him, 'My master, O king, did you not solemnly promise your servant? Surely your son Solomon will be king after me. He will sit on my throne. So why has Adonijah become king? While you are still there speaking to the king, I will arrive and verify your report.' So Bathsheba visited the king in his private quarters. The king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was serving the king. Bathsheba bowed down on the floor before the king. The king said, 'What do you want?' She replied to him, 'My master, you swore an oath to your servant by the Lord your God. Solomon your son will be king after me, and he will sit on my throne. But now, look, Adonijah has become king, but you, my master the king, are not even aware of it. He has sacrificed many cattle, steers, and sheep, and has invited all the king's sons, Abiathar the priest, and Joab, the commander of the army. But he has not invited your servant Solomon. Now, my master, O king, all Israel is watching anxiously to see who is named to succeed my master the king on the throne. If a decision is not made, when my master the king is buried with his ancestors, my son Solomon and I will be considered state criminals.' Just then, while she was still speaking to the king, Nathan the prophet arrived. The king was told, 'Nathan the prophet is here.' Nathan entered and bowed before the king with his face to the floor. Nathan said, 'My master, O king, did you announce Adonijah will be king after me? He will sit on my throne.' For today he has gone down and sacrificed many cattle, steers, and sheep, and has invited all the king's sons, the army commanders, and Abiathar the priest. At this moment they are having a feast in his presence, and they have declared, 'Long live King Adonijah!' But he did not invite me, your servant, or Zadok the priest, or Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, or your servant Solomon. Has my master the king authorized this without informing your servants who should succeed my master the king on his throne?" King David responded, "Summon Bathsheba." She came and stood before the king. The king swore an oath, "As certainly as the Lord lives, he who has rescued me from every danger, I will keep today the oath I swore to you by the Lord God of Israel. Surely Solomon your son will be king after me. He will sit in my place on my throne." Bathsheba bowed down to the king with her face to the floor and said, "May my master, King David, live forever." King David said, "Summon Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah son of Jehoiada." They came before the king, and he told them, "Take your master's servants with you, put my son Solomon on my mule, and lead him down to Gihon. There Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet will anoint him king over Israel. Then blow the trumpet and declare, 'Long live King Solomon!' Then follow him up as he comes and sits on my throne. He will be king in my place. I have decreed that he will be ruler over Israel and Judah." Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, responded to the king, "So be it. May the Lord God of my master the king confirm it. As the Lord is with my master the king, so may he be with Solomon, and may he make him an even greater king than my master King David." So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, the Kerethites, and the Pelethites went down, put Solomon on King David's mule, and led him to Gihon. Zadok the priest took a horn filled with olive oil from the tent and poured it on Solomon. The trumpet was blown, and all the people declared, "Long live King Solomon!" All the people followed him, playing flutes and celebrating so loudly they made the ground shake. Now Adonijah and all his guests heard the commotion just as they had finished eating. When Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he asked, "Why is there such a noisy commotion in the city?" As he was still speaking, Jonathan, son of Abiathar the priest, arrived. Adonijah said, "Come in, for an important man like you must be bringing good news." Jonathan replied to Adonijah, "No, our master King David has made Solomon king. The king sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and they put him on the king's mule. Then Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anointed him king in Gihon. They went up from there rejoicing, and the city is in an uproar. That is the sound you hear. Furthermore, Solomon has assumed the royal throne. The king's servants have even come to congratulate our master King David, saying, 'May your God make Solomon more famous than you and make him an even greater king than you.'" Then the king leaned on the bed and said this, "The Lord God of Israel is worthy of praise because today he has placed a successor on my throne and allowed me to see it." All of Adonijah's guests panicked. They jumped up and rushed off their separate ways. Adonijah feared Solomon, so he got up and went and grabbed hold of the horns of the altar. Solomon was told, "Look, Adonijah fears you. See, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, 'May King Solomon solemnly promise me today that he will not kill his servant with the sword.'" Solomon said, "If he is a loyal subject, not a hair of his head will be harmed. But if he is found to be a traitor, he will die." King Solomon sent men to bring him down from the altar. He came and bowed down to King Solomon, and Solomon told him, "Go home." When David was close to death, he told Solomon his son, "I am about to die. Be strong and become a man. Do the job the Lord your God has assigned you by following his instructions and obeying his rules, commandments, regulations, and laws as written in the law of Moses. Then you will succeed in all you do and seek to accomplish, and the Lord will fulfill his promise to me If your descendants watch their step and live faithfully in my presence with all their heart and being, then, he promised, you will not fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. You know what Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me, how he murdered two commanders of the Israelite armies, Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether. During peacetime, he struck them down as if in battle when he shed their blood. He stained the belt on his waist and the sandals on his feet. Do to him what you think is appropriate, but don't let him live long and die a peaceful death. Treat fairly the sons of Barzillai of Gilead and provide for their needs, because they helped me when I had to flee from your brother Absalom. Note well, you still have to contend with Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjaminite from Bahurim, who tried to call down upon me a horrible judgment when I went to Mahanaim. He came down and met me at the Jordan, and I solemnly promised him by the Lord, I will not strike you down with the sword. But now don't treat him as if he were innocent. You are a wise man, and you know how to handle him. Make sure he has a bloody death. Then David passed away and was buried in the city of David. David reigned over Israel 40 years. He reigned in Hebron 7 years and in Jerusalem 33 years. Solomon sat on his father David's throne, and his royal authority was firmly solidified. Haggith, son Adonijah, visited Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. She asked, "Do you come in peace?" He answered, "Yes." He added, "I have something to say to you." She replied, "Speak." He said, "You know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel considered me king. But then the kingdom was given to my brother, for the Lord decided it should be his. Now I'd like to ask you for just one thing. Please don't refuse me." She said, "Go ahead and ask." He said, "Please ask King Solomon if he would give me Abishag, the Shunammite, as a wife, for he won't refuse you." Bathsheba replied, "That's fine. I'll speak to the king on your behalf." So Bathsheba visited King Solomon to speak to him on Adonijah's behalf. The king got up to greet her, bowed to her, and then sat on his throne. He ordered a throne to be brought for the king's mother, and she sat at his right hand. She said, "I would like to ask you for just one small favor. Please don't refuse me." He said, "Go ahead and ask, my mother, for I would not refuse you." She said, "Allow Abishag, the Shunammite, to be given to your brother Adonijah as a wife." King Solomon answered his mother, "Why just request Abishag, the Shunammite, for him? Since he is my older brother, you should also request the kingdom for him, for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab, son of Zeruiah." King Solomon then swore an oath by the Lord, "May God judge me severely if Adonijah does not pay for this request with his life. Now, as certainly as the Lord lives, he who made me secure, allowed me to sit on my father David's throne, and established a dynasty for me as he promised, Adonijah will be executed today." King Solomon then sent Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and he killed Adonijah. The king then told Abiathar the priest, "Go back to your property in Anathoth. You deserve to die, but today I will not kill you, because you did carry the ark of the sovereign Lord before my father David, and you suffered with my father through all his difficult times." Solomon removed Abiathar from being a priest for the Lord, fulfilling the Lord's message that he had pronounced against the family of Eli and Shiloh. When they reached Joab, for Joab had reported Adonijah, although he had not supported Absalom, he ran to the tent of the Lord and grabbed hold of the horns of the altar. When King Solomon heard that Joab had run to the tent of the Lord and was right there beside the altar, he ordered Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, "Go, strike him down." When Benaiah arrived at the tent of the Lord, he said to him, "The king says, come out." But he replied, "No, I will die here." So Benaiah sent word to the king and reported Joab's reply. The king told him, "Do as he said, strike him down and bury him. Take away from me and from my father's family the guilt of Joab's murderous, bloody deeds. May the Lord punish him for the blood he shed behind my father David's back, He struck down and murdered with the sword two men who were more innocent and morally upright than he, Abner son of Ner, commander of Israel's army, and Amasa son of Jether, commander of Judah's army. May Joab and his descendants be perpetually guilty of their shed blood. But may the Lord give perpetual peace to David, his descendants, his family, and his dynasty. So Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, went up and executed Joab. He was buried at his home in the wilderness. The king appointed Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, to take his place at the head of the army, and the king appointed Zadok the priest to take Abiathar's place. Next, the king summoned Shimei and told him, "Build yourself a house in Jerusalem and live there, but you may not leave there to go anywhere. If you ever do leave and cross the Kidron Valley, know for sure that you will certainly die. You will be responsible for your own death." Shimei said to the king, "My master, the king's proposal is acceptable. Your servant will do as you say." So Shimei lived in Jerusalem for a long time. 3 years later, two of Shimei's servants ran away to King Achish, son of Maacah, of Gath. Shimei was told, "Look, your servants are in Gath." So Shimei got up, saddled his donkey, and went to Achish at Gath to find his servants. Shimei went and brought back to his servants from Gath. When Solomon was told that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and had then returned, the king summoned Shimei and said to him, "You will recall that I made you take an oath by the Lord, and I solemnly warned you, if you ever leave and go anywhere, know for sure that you will certainly die. You said to me, 'The proposal is acceptable. I agree to it.' Why then have you broken the oath you made before the Lord and disobeyed the order I gave you?" Then the king said to Shimei, "You are well aware of the way you mistreated my father David. The Lord will punish you for what you did. But King Solomon will be empowered, and David's dynasty will endure permanently before the Lord." The king then gave the order to Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, who went and executed Shimei. So Solomon took firm control of the kingdom. Psalm 37. Do not fret when wicked men seem to succeed. Do not envy evildoers, for they will quickly dry up like grass and wither away like plants. Trust in the Lord and do what is right. Settle in the land and maintain your integrity. Then you will take delight in the Lord, and he will answer your prayers. Commit your future to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act on your behalf. He will vindicate you in broad daylight and publicly defend your just cause. Wait patiently for the Lord. Wait confidently for him. Do not fret over the apparent success of a sinner, a man who carries out wicked schemes. Do not be angry and frustrated. Do not fret. That only leads to trouble. Wicked men will be wiped out, but those who rely on the Lord are the ones who will possess the land. Evil men will soon disappear. You will stare at the spot where they once were, but they will be gone. But the oppressed will possess the land and enjoy great prosperity. Evil men plot against the godly and viciously attack them. The Lord laughs in disgust at them, for he knows that their day is coming. Evil men draw their swords and prepare their bows to bring down the oppressed and needy, and to slaughter those who are godly. Their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. The little bit that a godly man owns is better than the wealth of many evil men. For evil men will lose their power, but the Lord sustains the godly. The Lord watches over the innocent day by day, and they possess a permanent inheritance. They will not be ashamed when hard times come. When famine comes, they will have enough to eat, but evil men will die. The Lord's enemies will be incinerated. They will go up in smoke. Evil men borrow, but do not repay their debt. But the godly show compassion and are generous. Surely those favored by the Lord will possess the land, but those rejected by him will be wiped out. The Lord grants success to the one whose behavior he finds commendable. Even if he trips, he will not fall headlong, for the Lord holds his hand. I was once young, now I am old, I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children forced to search for food. All day long they show compassion and lend to others, and their children are blessed. Turn away from evil. Do what is right. Then you will enjoy lasting security. For the Lord promotes justice and never abandons his faithful followers. They are permanently secure, but the children of the wicked are wiped out. The godly will possess the land, and he will dwell in it permanently. The godly speak wise words and promote justice. The law of their God controls their thinking. Their feet do not slip. The wicked set an ambush for the godly and try to kill them. But the Lord does not surrender the godly or allow them to be condemned in a court of law. Rely on the Lord. Obey his commands. Then he will permit you to possess the land. You will see the demise of the wicked. I have seen ruthless, wicked people growing in influence like a green tree grows in its native soil. But then one passes by, and suddenly they have disappeared. I looked for them, but they could not be found. Take note of the one who has integrity. Observe the upright. For the one who promotes peace has a future. Sinful rebels are totally destroyed. The wicked have no future. But the Lord delivers the godly. He protects them in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and delivers them, for they seek his protection. Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, I have taken shelter. Never let me be humiliated. Vindicate me by rescuing me. Listen to me. Deliver me. Be my protector and refuge, a stronghold where I can be safe. For you are my high ridge and my stronghold. My God, rescue me from the power of the wicked, from the hand of the cruel oppressor. For you are my hope, O Sovereign Lord. I have trusted in you since I was young. I have leaned on you since birth. You pulled me from my mother's womb. I praise you continually. Many are appalled when they see me, but you are my secure shelter. I praise you constantly and speak of your splendor all day long. Do not reject me in my old age. When my strength fails, do not abandon me. For my enemies talk about me. Those waiting for a chance to kill me plot my demise. They say, God has abandoned him. Run and seize him, for there is no one who will rescue him. O God, do not remain far away from me. My God, hurry and help me. May my accusers be humiliated and defeated. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. As for me, I will wait continually and will continue to praise you. I will tell about your justice and all day long proclaim your salvation, though I cannot fathom its full extent. I will come and tell about the mighty acts of the Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your justice, yours alone. O God, you have taught me since I was young, and I am still declaring your amazing deeds. Even when I am old and gray, O God, do not abandon me until I tell the next generation about your strength and those coming after me about your power. Your justice, O God, extends to the skies above. You have done great things. O God, who can compare to you? Though you have allowed me to experience much trouble and distress, revive me once again. Bring me up once again from the depths of the earth. Raise me to a position of great honor. Turn and comfort me. I will express my thanks to you with a stringed instrument, praising your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you accompanied by a harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy. Yes, I will sing your praises. I will praise you when you rescue me. All day long my tongue will also tell about your justice, for those who want to harm me will be embarrassed and ashamed. Psalm 94. O Lord, the God who avenges, O God who avenges, reveal your splendor. Rise up, O Judge of the earth. Pay back the proud. O Lord, how long will the wicked celebrate They spew out threats and speak defiantly. All the evildoers boast. O Lord, they crush your people. They oppress the nation that belongs to you. They kill the widow and the resident foreigner, and they murder the fatherless. Then they say, the Lord does not see this. The God of Jacob does not take notice of it. Take notice of this, you ignorant people. You fools, when will you ever understand? Does the one who makes the human ear not hear? Does the one who forms the human eye not see? Does the one who disciplines the nations not punish? He is the one who imparts knowledge to human beings. The Lord knows that people's thoughts are morally bankrupt. How blessed is the one whom you instruct, O Lord, the one whom you teach from your law, in order to protect him from times of trouble until the wicked are destroyed. Certainly the Lord does not forsake his people. He does not abandon the nation that belongs to him. For justice will prevail, and all the morally upright will be vindicated. Who will rise up to defend me against the wicked? Who will stand up for me against the evildoers? If the Lord had not helped me, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. If I say, my foot is slipping, your loyal love, O Lord, supports me. When worries threaten to overwhelm me, your soothing touch makes me happy. Cruel rulers are not your allies. Those who make oppressive laws, they conspire against the blameless and condemn to death the innocent. But the Lord will protect me, and my God will shelter me. He will pay them back for their sin. He will destroy them because of their evil. The Lord our God will destroy them. Okay, so we had a really long reading today. I don't want to spend too much time talking about it, but I do want to mention this move that Adonijah makes that cost him his life. He approaches Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, by asking for Abishag's hand in marriage. Now, this seems innocent in the way that it was done, in the way that he goes around Solomon, who is the king, to Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, to state his case, and makes it look very innocent, his motive to be pure. What Solomon saw through was a very calculated political move to seize the throne from him. The way he can get the throne, the way he can get to his brother, is to marry the innocent woman that cared for King David in his death. So we have a little clue as to who Solomon actually is and what he asks God for and what God grants him. And as we see here today, that is wisdom. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your wisdom that is available to all of us. I pray that we would all be mindful that it's there, that it's available, that we can utilize, we can ask you for wisdom, and you will grant us your wisdom. Thank you for the help that you grant us. Thank you for the gifts that you grant your children. Eternal life, good fruit, wisdom, forgiveness, grace, and mercy. And may we always be aware that these things are what set us apart from the world. And may we be doers of such good gifts and give back to those in need. I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hi, this is Cynthia from upstate New York, and I would like to ask for prayer for my family. I hope this doesn't sound too silly or meaningless, but I just would like to pray for reconciliation amongst many of our family members. We have had some people in our family grow up with just some pain and some resentment towards other family members, past hurts, I'm sure some jealousy, just so much. And I think it has just festered over time. And we've come together for a few things, and we've had people just not want to be present and just have others come together and by the end of the evening, there's just some whispers and there's some backbiting, and that is just so discouraging to me. I am one of the people, or I am the person in my family that loves to bring everyone together. I hold many, many, many of our family functions, and it's real hard to know that I have people that don't want to attend because of others, and I'm talking about family. And I don't know what to do, but I am turning to God, and I am turning to the Global Campfire here, just asking for prayers. I would say for reconciliation, prayers for some of my loved ones who are not yet Christians and may not know or have a relationship with God, that they would turn to Him to just get understanding and to maybe be able to find some forgiveness. Thank you to my DABC family. I love you all.
I'd like to ask for prayer for our dog. We've tried everything about stopping from itching, but nothing has worked. He still itches all the time. So please pray for our dog. Just a little doggy, but he just never seems to quit. Thank you.